Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I was thinking, Mallory, yesterday, you came to me in your hour of need to ask me a favor. I think that my rejection might have been a little hasty.
You mean you'll go out with Sherry?
Yeah, I think so.
Great! That is wonderful!
There is, however, one small favor that I'd like to ask of you.
Name it. Anything.
I'd like you to go out on a date with, young Irwin here.
I'd rather enter a convent.
I'm flattered by the competition.
Come on, Mallory, we can make this palatable. It doesn't have to be a long date. You don't even have to be civil.
Do I have to go out in public with him?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. See, we'll double date. We'll go together to the Pie New Dance.
I'm not dancing with him.
There's not going to be any dancing, Skippy.
There's got to be dancing. This point is non-negotiable.
I don't think he's bluffing, Mallory.
All right, one dance. Two dances, one slow.
Mallory?
I'd almost rather die than do this.
Sounds like a yes to me, Skip.
Hello, and welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zabe, the host of the show, and I am very excited to be back with our third format of the show that we've added to the podcast. It's a short version of the podcast that we can release in between regular episodes of the show and the home games, where it's just the listeners versus the podcast to see how many points you can get. No prizes or ranks, just a quick mini game to satisfy that nostalgic itch for the pop culture of Generation X. We will also use this time to solve the power struggles from previous episodes, as well as giving you a chance to help save Generation X from being forgotten with a special guest host segment of the show. To refresh your memory, here's the power struggle we are going to solve at the end of the episode.
Okay, John Wilder, write us out of this one.
John Wilder?
John Wilder? Vision Wilder?
Hollywood.
Hollywood Montrose. Woo! Doesn't it just sing?
Do you remember where these five Gen X clips are from? Stay tuned to hear the answers at the end of the show. But for now, let's get right to the game that we call Who Will Save Generation X? Challenging Stage. Here's how the game works. We'll have three fast-paced rounds of games to play and score points. In round three, we have a special guest host take over the show and quiz me for five questions. If you can get more correct than I can, then you are invited to use our website answer machine to mock me endlessly.
You dirt-eating piece of slime, you scum-sucking pig, you son of a motherless goat!
Or, better yet, use that answer machine to call in and take over as host for a moment and ask me some trivia questions that we can use on an upcoming episode. Just go to our website and click on that blue microphone icon and leave us five trivia questions that you think would work well on the podcast. It's 100% free to use and can be accessed from any device that has an internet connection and a microphone. We would love to hear your voice on the show. So let's get going and save Generation X from being forgotten.
Round one.
Round one today is a game called
In a World
Coming Soon.
In this game, I'll play selected parts from a movie trailer from Generation X, and you will need to tell me which movie that it was a preview for. There are clips from three movies, and you'll get 2 points for each movie you can name without a hint. However, if you need a hint, then you will be awarded 1 point for each that you can name correctly. Here's movie one for 2 points if you can name it correctly right now.
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. he has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20. He also has a twin brother.
Here are the hints. Remember that if you get the answers correct from the assistance from the hints, then it is only worth 1 point. The hints are that this is a high-concept buddy comedy from 1988, and it was rated PG. It is a one-word title, at least here in the United States it is. Got it? Here's the reveal.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Born to be bad.
And Danny DeVito.
Way to go, Mom.
Are twins.
My name is Julius. I'm your twin brother.
Obviously. The moment I sat down, I thought I was looking into a mirror.
Only their mother can tell them apart.
That's right.
Twins. Coming this Christmas.
Twins is the correct answer. The money was not available to pay the two main stars and the director their normal fees. So they decided to split a percentage of the gross profits between the three of them, and they made the deal on a napkin at lunch with agents. They signed it, and the star of the film, Danny DeVito, then had it framed. The three ended up making more money than they would have taking the regular fees up front because the film was such a big hit. Schwarzenegger got 20% of the profits, and he made over $35 million from it. He earned more money from Twins than any of his Terminator movies. Schwarzenegger went on record to state that the comedy film was the best decision he ever made. Sadly, despite it being a hit, he was still being typecast as an action star by other countries. In the Middle Eastern country of Azerbaijan, Twins was released in a dubbed and re-edited version. The Azerbaijani title translates into English as
Zombie 42, Two Times the Death.
I'm not sure how you get there from here, but it makes you think about what it might look like in an Azerbaijani maternity ward. Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Bakalakadaka. You are the proud parents of healthy Zombie 42, Two Times the Deaths. Now on to movie two. Here's the trailer for 2 points.
On a distant planet, a great kingdom was ravaged by beings who came from the future to conquer the universe. Now, the only survivors follow a doubtful seer and a throneless king.
They will hold her in the Black Fortress. You must have help.
At the end of an impossible journey, they must fight an invincible enemy. What is about to happen to them could never have happened on Earth.
And now your 1 point hint. This movie is from 1983. It was rated PG. It is an action-adventure sci-fi dark fantasy flick. It also is a one-word title that sounds like it could be name of a city in Azerbaijan. Maybe. But a better hint might be to say that the movie has been notable for featuring early on-screen appearances of Liam Neeson and Robbie Coltrane, a.k.a. Hagrid from the Harry Potter franchise.
Columbia Pictures presents a world apart from anything you have seen before. Crawl.
Yes, the correct answer is Kroll. This was a movie that had extremely high hopes and expectations. It was one of the most expensive films of its day, took years to make, and featured 23 sets, 10 different sound stages, and a cast and crew of hundreds. Every detail was meticulously laid out, from the 4 tons of painted cork to simulate quicksand, to the 16 Clydesdale horses on loan from Buckingham Palace. They had up-and-coming big stars, a director who was making a name for himself, and thanks to Star Wars, they knew they had an audience for this kind of high-fantasy adventure flick with the bones of a great story. They had everything, but still they could not get it together enough to make a winner. Kroll has a lot to offer, but it just didn't connect with the audience while in theaters and ended up being a bomb. I feel like if they could have only got John Williams to do the score, it would have had a much better chance of being a hit. That dude makes everything better. The poor box office derailed any hope of a sequel and also set back many promising careers. I saw this movie as an adult for the first time, and I don't deny that it has some problems, but there's enough great stuff here to make it worthy to watch and celebrate. I am normally very much opposed to any kind of remakes of great films from our era because the originals are far superior in almost every case. However, I feel like there's a case to be made for movies that didn't quite live up to their potential and giving them another chance. I feel like Kroll is the perfect opportunity that fits that criterion. I was going to use this opportunity to say a joke, something like, I'll see a Kroll remake as long as the makers of the Star Wars sequels trilogy has nothing to do with it. But As I was searching for some fun facts to share with you on this movie, I read that it has been announced back in September 2023 that a reboot of Krull is in the works and is being headed up by J.J. Abrams.
We've decoded the intel from the spy, and it confirms the worst. Somehow,
the Beast and his army, the Slayers,
returned.
And the last movie for Inner World coming soon is worth 2 points if you get it right here.
Party people in the place to be! This is what you've all been waiting to see! This time there is an enemy, so they must unite. Because to say what you believe in, sometimes you must fight.
I'll finish you, your friends, and your whole damn neighborhood.
You lost your edge.
Try me.
The greatest, nothing can compete. And once you've seen this movie, you'll believe in the beat.
Here's your 1 point hint if you need it. Movie 3 is from 1984, and IMDb calls this a pop musical drama comedy? Question mark. The quick plot summary reads, a developer tries to bulldoze a community recreation center. The local breakdancers try to stop it. Do you know it? Okay, here's the reveal.
I believe in the beat.
So don't miss it! Breakdance 2! If you forget it, you'll regret it! Electric Boogaloo!
Yes, of course, that is indeed Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. Listeners, my apologies. I feel like this trailer was not the best edit I've ever done in my life. But in my defense, Ice-T kept saying the name of the movie in his very early 80s rap flow, and that would just give it away far too easily. Who knew he could find so many things to rhyme with Electric Boogaloo? This, of course, is the sequel to Breakin' 1 Steam Engine Boogaloo, both of which were released by the film studio Canon. The movie opened the same day as the John Hughes movie 16 Candles and beat it in the box office not just for opening weekend, but for also their entire theatrical release, despite being released on fewer screens. Since the first Breakin' was a hit, they wanted to get the sequel out ASAP and started filming it before the script had even been complete. It's all starting to make sense now, right? Breakin' came out on May 4th, 1984, and Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo was released 7 months later in December of that same year. Nobody could hold their nose and push out content quite like the Canon Group could.
Electric Boogaloo! A Golden Globus production! Another good one from Canon!
Let's take another listen to the power struggle for this episode, and then we'll play round two.
Okay, Joan Wilder, write us out of this one.
Joan Wilder? Joan Wilder? The Joan Wilder?
Hollywood.
Hollywood Montrose.
Doesn't it just sing?
Round two.
Round two of this episode is our spotlight trivia round. We will dive into one Gen X topic to quiz you on. Each complete correct answer is worth 2 points if you know it outright, but if you need the hint or multiple choice, then it is worth only 1 point. I'll ask the questions and then circle back with the answers at the end of the round. Good luck! The spotlight topic for this episode is the TV sitcom Family Ties.
Sha-la-la-la.
Judges, I thought we were going to save all the shalalalas until the end of the show. Yeah, but you can't just butt in with shalalalas whenever you want. Yeah, I know it's all about that certain call and answer things that us Gen Xers can't help but chime in on, like this song. All the Gen Xers listening right now just said bang bang, right? And we also cannot resist the answer to this question.
Well, if you do that SOPP and you're not down with it, but if you don't, here's your membership. Get out with LPP.
Gen Xers are powerless to resist certain things. I get it. But if you want to be a professional podcaster, then surely you can keep it serious long enough to get through the round two intro, right?
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Anyway, call and responses aside, Family Ties was a beloved family sitcom that ran for 7 seasons, starting in 1982 until 1989. The show originally was centered around the parents, Stephen and Elise Keaton, and had been sold to the network by using the pitch, Hip Parents, Square Kids. However, after the 4th episode, it was clear that the audience fell in love with Michael J. Fox as the ambitious young Republican Alex P. Keaton, and the writers knew they had to pivot. The show depicts Stephen and Elise as baby boomers, liberals, and former hippies raising their children. Much of the humor of the series focuses on the cultural divide during the 1980s when younger generations rejected the counterculture of the 1960s and embraced the materialism and conservative politics which came to define the 1980s for many. For that reason, it's hard to separate the political tones of the show when talking about it. And you know it's a show that can never survive today's political climate.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe! Yes, judges, I forgot that call and response one earlier. Yeah, you got it. But can you please just let me finish so we can get to the trivia? Please? I guess what I'm trying to say here is that it was just a better time. When we could simply just laugh away our political differences and everyone would still just be cool with everyone and love them despite their different points of view. Family Ties is a show that exemplifies the sentiment of loving each other despite our fundamental differences and staying connected by looking past certain challenges of our family life. The greatest thing about this show is that it points out that at the end of the day, it should never be you versus me. It should just be us. After all, and there ain't no nothing we can't love each other through. What will we do, baby, without us? Judges? Judges? Sha-la-la-la. Thank you.
Question number one.
Let's start with something super easy. How many kids did the Keatons have? We talked about Alex, but what about his other siblings? 2 points if you can name the correct answer right now. But for 1 point, here are your multiple choice options for how many children did Stephen and Elise Keaton have? Was it A, 3 kids? B, 4 kids? C, 5? Or was it D, 69?
69, dudes!
Remember, this is for how many children did Stephen and Elise have together. We're not talking about that episode where Stephen took that work trip to Tijuana. What happens in Tijuana stays in Tijuana. Ay, 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 ay.
Question number two.
The show lasted for 7 seasons, and with the last 2 seasons having a rating slump, they knew the show was coming to an end and was allowed to have a series finale. When it was discussed among the cast and crew of how the show should end, they gave their input. What plot line did the cast want to have as the final episode of Family Ties? This one is pretty tough, so we're going to give you the multiple choice options for a full 2 points. Was it A, a big wedding between Mallory and Nick and the former guest stars of the show coming back as wedding guests? B, Alex and Ellen moved to Chicago and it is a preview for a proposed spin-off show? Is it C, Stephen Keaton gets a job offer to work for network TV and the family must decide if they want to sell their home to move to California? Is it D, Alex lands his dream job and becomes the youngest executive in a New York financial firm's history and the family is faced with saying goodbye? Or is it E, 4 words, Keaton family plane crash? If you can divine the correct answer for these options, then it will be worth 2 points. But for 1 point, here's your hint. One of these is how the show actually ended, so don't pick that one, and it'll narrow it down for you a bit. I know that's not much of a hint, but let's quickly move on to the next question.
Question number three.
As we stated in the opening round, politics played a large part of the sitcom. Conservative Alex was always at odds with his progressive parents, and they would often show it in some subtle ways. Here's your question. In the series finale, whose picture is framed on Alex's bedside table? Think about the character of Alex, what you know about him, and whose picture he would want to have framed on his bedside table. 2 points if you know it right now, but for 1 point, here are your multiple choice options. Is it A, former President Richard Nixon? B, current President George H.W. Bush? C, current Chairman of the Federal Reserve Alan Greenspan? D, former President Ronald Reagan? Or is it E, former Democratic presidential nominee Walter Mondale with his front teeth blacked out?
Question number four.
Family Ties had many guest stars on the show, many of whom would go on to be big stars. Tom Hanks, Christina Applegate, and Courtney Cox. And other recognizable names were also on the show, judges. Your question is, which of the following guest stars was never on the show? Was A, Corey Feldman, never on the show? B, River Phoenix? C, David Faustino, a.k.a. Bud Bundy from Married with Children? D, Jerry O'Connell? Or is it E, Will Wheaton?
Shut up, Wesley.
If you know which of these fine actors never made an appearance on Family Ties, it'll score you 2 points right now. But for 1 point, here is your clue. The actor, which is the correct answer, played a character in the movie Stand By Me. And in the epilogue of that film, we find out that when he grows up, he marries right out of high school, has 4 kids, and works as a forklift operator. In real life, he just kept on acting and married Rebecca Romijn.
And finally, question number five.
The final question of the round is, love interest storylines are common in sitcoms, but they rarely come with their very own theme song that becomes a number one hit years after it was released. At the end of season 4, Alex begins a romantic relationship with Ellen, and we get a front row seat at their love story. Several times in season 4 and at the start of season 5, they would play a very specific song at critical moments in their relationship. The song became a huge hit on the radio due to it being featured on the show. Your question is, what is the name of the song that became Alex and Ellen's love song years after its original release? If you know it right now, you're probably singing it. And if you are, then you'll score 2 points. But if you need the 1 point multiple choice option, here it is. Was the song A, At This Moment by Billy Vera and the Beaters? B, Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis Presley? C, A Groovy Kind of Love by Phil Collins? D, Hold On to the Nights by Richard Marx? Or is it E, F the Police by N.W.A.?
Right about now, N.W.A. court is in full effect. Judge Dre residing. Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the stand. Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Now that you had a little time to think about the questions, here are the answers. Question 1 was, how many children did Stephen and Elise Keaton have? The correct answer is option B. They had 4 children together. Alex, Mallory, and Jennifer were all around for the start of the show, but by the end of season 4, Andy was introduced as a kind of attempted Cousin Oliver type situation to boost the show. Not to mention that Meredith Baxter was pregnant in real life, and they squeezed that into the storyline. However, I feel like they put Andy on Planet Genesis from Star Trek 3 because he aged about 4 years in between seasons 4 and 5.
Give me Genesis!
Boy, that's a deep cut joke there. I think only my fellow nerds will get that joke. Question 2 is, what was the plot line that the cast wanted to have as the final episode of Family Ties? The correct answer, believe it or not, was option E, Keaton Family Plane Crash. After 7 seasons on the air, ratings dropping, and the cast having many new projects being offered to them, they knew that the time was now to move on. Reportedly, everyone was against any kind of future remake or reunion show, so they wanted to make some sort of finality to the end of the series. So they voted for them to all be killed off in a plane crash together. Judges, don't you dare do the sha-la-la-la right now at that sentence. Don't you do it. Don't! Nope! Family Ties was the heart of NBC's legendary Thursday night sitcom lineup. A solid 2 hours every week to watch comedy on NBC, starting with The Cosby Show, next was Family Ties, then Cheers, and ending with Night Court. Reportedly, Bill Cosby wanted to feature his new show called A Different World and demanded that NBC open up the time slot right behind his show, so A Different World would have the advantage of having a big audience. Bill Cosby had his way with the NBC executives and forced them to move Family Ties to Sunday night, where it would go up against such TV juggernauts like All the Grandmas Watching Murder, She Wrote, MacGyver, and they were also up against a new network that started that year called Fox and their top new show called Married with Children. So after all, it turns out that it wasn't a plane crash that killed the Keatons. It was Bill Cosby.
Hey, hey, hey!
Question 3 was, whose picture is framed at Alex Keaton's bedside table? The correct answer is option A, former President Richard Nixon. Tricky Dick. Nixon might have been Alex's favorite president, but President Ronald Reagan declared that Family Ties was his favorite television show. At the time, there were rumors of talks of him to make a cameo or perhaps a guest starring role in the series. I'm thinking that it never happened because of how obsessive the character Skippy was about girls and the fear that he might want to try something desperate to impress Jodie Foster.
I'm flattered by the competition.
Question 4. Corey Feldman, River Phoenix, and Will Wheaton, all of whom starred in the coming-of-age film Stand By Me, guest starred on the show Family Ties as well as classmates or friends of Jennifer Keaton. Jerry O'Connell is the only lead actor in Stand By Me who never made a guest appearance on the series and is the correct answer for number 4. He was never on the show because he and Jason Bateman, Mallory's real-life brother, were real-life rivals who vied for the same roles at the time, and the casting production catered to Justine Bateman's very own Family Ties and elected to ostracize Jerry from being on the show. Justine Bateman later goes to appear on her brother Jason Bateman's series Arrested Development. The title of that episode is called Family Ties. Sha-la-la-la. Judges, we talked about this. Come on. We've only got one more question to finish the round, then you can sha-la-la-la all you want. And finally, question 5 asks, what is the name of the song that became Alex and Ellen's love song years after its release? If you said option E, F the Police by NWA, then you fell for the trap. Because we said it became a number one hit years after its release, and we all know that since F the Police came out in 1988, and the show went off the air 1 year later, then it would be impossible for that to be the correct answer. I mean, that's the only reason, right? I'm pretty sure that the character of Alex P. Keaton would have been a huge NWA fan, however, but that option is sadly incorrect. The correct answer is, well, I'll let the man himself tell you.
This one's called At This Moment.
Yes, option A, At This Moment by Billy Vera and the Beaters is the correct answer. During an age where TV super couples were given theme songs that played during their on-screen love story, Alex P. Keaton and his girlfriend Ellen Reed's theme song for their family ties romance was At This Moment, which reached number one in 1987 due to the couple's popularity. Michael J. Fox and Tracy Poland, who played the couple on screen, became a couple in real life as well and would eventually marry. It's one of the feel-good celebrity love stories that has overcome great personal trials that would have ended some marriages, but 37 years and 4 kids later, they are still together today. In one of his autobiographies, Michael J. Fox said that for at least 10 years after his marriage to Tracy Poland, the two couldn't get on the dance floor anywhere in the country without someone starting to play the 1981 song At This Moment by Billy Vera and the Beaters because of its strong association with the romance storyline between Fox and Poland's characters, Alex and Ellen. I don't know if the couple is annoyed by that or not, but I think it'd be kind of sweet as a couple to have your song played every time you went on the dance floor. I know it was a magical moment in my wedding reception when I took my wife into my arms and looked deep into her eyes as the DJ played our song, F the Police by NWA.
If I could just hold you, oh,
it's time to move on to round 3, but before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
We'll be right back with a special goodbye from all of us at Family Ties.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Hey, have you ever thought about giving us a positive review on the podcast platform where you found us? We found listeners who have on Apple Podcasts, and Dr. Timon gave us 4 stars and writes, "This is like the Stranger Things of podcasts. It's an entertaining walk down memory lane." Thanks, Dr. Timon. By Stranger Things of podcasts, I guess you mean it's all the throwback references of the show, right? And not the judges are faceless monsters from a backwards dimension of evil and darkness looking to eat high school kids, right? I'm sure that's right. Reviews like this really help others find the show, so please spread the word about the podcast, and your review might end up on an episode just like this one was. We look forward to reading what the rest of you think about the show. It takes just a moment to write a positive review, but it makes a big difference to us. Thanks so much.
Round 3.
I am the guy who normally asks the questions, but in this segment, we're going to turn things around and have one of our listeners ask the questions to see if I can do my part to save Generation X. Our special guest host this episode is not only a friend of the show, but also a personal friend of mine. He's been on the show several times, and I think he might have scored the most total points in the history of the show. I got a chance to sit down with him for some questions. Please enjoy our guest host, Tyler.
All right, Zabe. Since its debut on December 17th, 1989, The Simpsons have broadcast 750 episodes of the show. It is the longest-running American animated series, longest-running American sitcom, and the longest-running American scripted primetime television series, both in terms of seasons and number of episodes. For 2 points, what was the title of episode number 532?
Don't.
I'm just kidding. That is not your question. It was actually Treehouse of Horror 24. Your real question is this. On what street does the Simpson family live? Is it A, Sycamore Avenue, B, Indigo Circle, C, Elm Street, D, Evergreen Terrace, or E, Red Bark Lane?
That is, of course, I can't remember the street number, but Evergreen Terrace is my answer.
That is correct. Red Bark Lane is actually the street near Las Vegas where they built a replica of the Simpson home in real life.
Nice. I live close to there. I should check it out.
All right. Then your next question. In
Please.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ferris and Cameron borrow or steal a 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California from Cameron's father. What did the license plate say? This is a multiple choice question. Was it A, Playboy, B, Oh Yeah, C, Nervous, D, Red Hot, or E, MMOM?
MMOM? Is that what you said?
Yes.
I believe it was Nervous was the correct answer.
That is correct. C, Nervous. Other nice. License plates used in the movie were references to John Hughes films. Mrs. Bueller's car had VCTN, referring to vacation. Mr. Bueller's car was MMOM for Mr. Mom. Jeannie's car had TBC for the Breakfast Club. And Mr. Rooney's car had the license plate 4FBDO or 4 Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Nice. I think he's only known as by numbers now. I think he's in prison. So
84601.
Right. That's what we call him now.
Our next question comes from the Brady Bunch. In episode 11 of season 5, titled Cincinnati Kids, the Brady family visits Kings Island Amusement Park in Cincinnati. At lunch, Jan asks her father if she can use one of his two canisters, which at the time held amusement park plans he needed for a meeting, to store a poster she had just purchased. As Mike puts all the drawings into one canister, he gives the other to Jan. Unfortunately for Mike, he takes Jan's canister to the meeting while Jan takes his. By the time that he discovers the error at the meeting, he only has 30 minutes to find Jan and return to the meeting with the drawings. What was on the poster that Jan had purchased?
I was hoping you're going to ask what was the music that they were playing as they went back and forth trying to get the right canisters, which was the William Tell Overture.
So you do remember the episode?
Oh, absolutely. Who doesn't remember that episode? Come on.
These are like the special episodes, like when they go to Hawaii or the Grand Canyon.
I think if you...
Would you like a multiple choice? Would that help you or the listeners?
I think I know it, but for the listener's sake, let's give multiple choice.
Your choices are A, Mickey Mouse, B, Davy Jones, C, Yogi Bear, D, Donny Osmond, or E, Snoopy.
Snoop Dogg? Is that what you said?
Just Snoopy.
Oh, just Snoopy. Okay. So I was going to say, I think Snoop Dogg wasn't quite a thing yet. That'd be Yogi Bear.
That is correct. Strong nice. Work, Zabe.
Nice.
Alice! We found Dad's sketches!
Oh, good for you!
We're out of breath. Take him to the manager's office.
Oh, okay, kids, the Pony Express rides again!
That's another one that was in my memory bank that I'm like, I don't know why I remember right. that, but I remember it being Yogi Bear for some reason.
Yeah, same. So it made an impression.
In the 1985 film The Goonies, a group of young misfits discover an ancient map and set out on an adventure to find a legendary pirate's long-lost treasure. Several of the characters in the film are better known by their nicknames, including Sloth, Mikey, Chunk, Data, and Mouth. What is Mouth's real first name?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
This is multiple choice.
Yeah.
Is it A, Lawrence, B, Clark, C, Richard, D, Lotney, or E, Kevin?
Lotney is such a weird name to throw in that multiple choice. I'm going to go with, I believe it's A, Lawrence.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Lawrence is the name of Chunk. Lawrence Cohen is Chunk's real name.
Oh, Mouth. You said Mouth, not Chunk.
Yes.
I got them mixed up. My bad.
Okay, then you still have four choices between Clark, Zabe, Richard, Lotney, and Kevin.
No,
what do you
I
think is Mouth's first name.
Well, I think I already got it wrong, so I don't feel like this counts.
But we can ask a different question.
No, I screwed it up. Boy, I chunked that one. Yeah.
The answer is Clark. Clark Devereaux is Mouth's real name. Lotney is actually Sloth's real name.
No.
Lotney Fratelli.
Nice.
It was not mentioned in the film, but you can find it in fandom.
Is it in the novelization of The Goonies? Is that where we'll find that?
That's probably where it's found. I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
In the film, Mouth wears a gray members-only jacket and a black t-shirt. What is depicted on the t-shirt?
Do I have multiple choice or do I just say?
This is a multiple choice question.
Purple rain right now.
Is it A, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, B, Mickey Mouse, C, Def Leppard, Pyromania, D, Prince, Purple Rain, or E, it's just a plain black t-shirt?
That's Prince and the Revolution in Purple Rain.
That is correct.
Yeah. Hey, Tyler, thanks so much for guest hosting this segment. I appreciate you, buddy. I hope you had a good time doing it.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. It's nice to be on the other end of the question asking.
Yeah. I mean, you dominate when you play this game. So I was really nervous in having you ask me the questions. I think I did a pretty good showing.
Yeah, you did great. I'm impressed. Some of those answers I've tried out on other people and no one has done nearly as well as you have.
Well, thanks. That's so, all I got going on up here.
Right.
Random garbage.
Well, and you knew Prince's Purple Rain. You were nodding that as soon as I asked the question. You're like, yeah. What, you mean Purple Rain? I was like, oh, well, you got that one too. I ask that to people at work all the time. No one ever gets that question right.
Well, I don't know how many Gen Xers you work with.
Because there's not that many of us, right? Because we're the smallest generation. So you don't run into as many Gen Xers.
Statistically speaking, yeah, you're right.
Or they're jerks that don't like pop culture.
Losers.
The other question I could ask that very few people would get, but I know you would get, is Luke Skywalker's co-pilot in the snow speeder
Dak
was named what? Yes.
His name was Dak.
Such a Dak.
If you would like to try your hand at guest hosting the segment and share your trivia knowledge of the fun things of Generation X, just like Tyler did here today, then send the judges an email at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com, or even better, go to our website at whowillsavegenx.com and leave us a message. Just tap that blue microphone icon on the lower part of your screen and leave us a message. It's free to use, and your voice might be used on an upcoming episode of the show. Speaking of which, we don't have a fun name for this guest host segment yet. If you can think of a fun Gen X name to call it, that would be something cool to leave us on their answer machine. We set this up so we can get you to ask us some Gen X pop culture trivia questions for the podcast, but really, anything you have on your mind about the show, our generation, or whatever you want to share with us is free game on the answer machine. We're hoping that you will reach out and just say hi. The last segment on the challenging stage is to give the answers to the power struggle questions from past shows. In episode 33, we had guests Bill and Darren in an episode we called
999!
Yeah!
We had a power struggle question, and it sounded just like this.
Okay, Joan Wilder, write us out of this one.
Joan Wilder? Joan Wilder? The Joan Wilder?
Hollywood.
Hollywood Montrose. Doesn't it just sing?
Let's reveal the answers now. Clip one was from Wheel of Fortune. Clip two was from the X-Men animated series from the 1990s. Clip three was from the Danny DeVito movie, Romancing the Stone. Clip four was the Paul Simon song, You Can Call Me Al. And finally, clip five, which might be the most difficult, was Hollywood from the 1987 Montrose film, Mannequin.
Doesn't it just sing?
We will reveal more Power Struggle answers on future episodes of The Challenging Stage. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We welcome you to contact the show and let us know what you think of this episode. Your feedback is always appreciated, and thanks again for checking out the show. We welcome you to share it with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribe to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.